You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When I entered the Franciscan seminary system back in the 1950s, I know I'm dating myself by admitting that, but it's back in the 1950s, there was still such a thing as the military draft, administered by a government agency called the Selective Service System, and we had just barely completed the Korean War, and the Vietnam War had not got started yet, but it was in between there, and everybody was subject to the draft, but then eventually they came up with the lottery system. They would draw numbers. But anyway, as seminary students, we were exempt from the draft. They called us divinity students or something, whatever, but we were exempt from the military draft. And I would come home on summer vacation, and my dad would always say, he was a kind of a strict patriotic sort of guy, he'd say, "I'm so glad that you're going to study to be a priest, but I'm so sorry that you're not going to be in the army. They would make a man out of you." Well, I knew well enough not to argue with my father, but I had secret reservations about that line of thinking. But anyway, I had heard plenty enough of the horror stories about Fort Leonard Wood. Enough of my friends went down there for basic training, and I heard about how they went on 20-mile hikes in hot summer sun, full battle fatigue and everything else, how they crawled under barbed wire and over barricades and all kind of horrible things that I did not wish to participate in. So I was not sorry at all that I was exempted from military service. But then I got into the Franciscan novitiate. That was at the age of about 20 or 21 years old, not too far from here, by the way. It was at Tutopolis, Illinois. And I got to my room the first day, found out there was no electricity in my room. There was no running water in my room. Talk about primitive, this was basic training. When it got dark, you went to bed. There was no light. When you got up in the morning, if you wished to wash your face, you took your pitcher and went outdoors to a crank pump and got some ice-cold water out of the pump. And that's how you washed your face. Well, needless to say, I almost wished I'd joined the Army. But we went through that for a year, and then things got a little better as we went. But it seems like the government and the church at least agreed on this much. When you recruit people, you got to give them a kind of a tough trial period at the front end to sort out the men from the boys and to make sure that you got a good, tough workforce. That's exactly what Jesus was doing in Mark's gospel that we had for this weekend. It says he summoned the 12 apostles. This was well before his passion and death and all this. This was during their seminary training, if you want to look at it that way. And so Jesus did exactly what military supervisors do and what religious supervisors do. He said, "We're going to give these guys a controlled battle experience. It's not going to be full tilt, and we're not going to expose them to live ammunition and all the horrible stuff, but we're going to send them out two by two and see how they do." And by the way, when you come to church next weekend, we're going to pick up right at the end of this gospel and where it picks up again. And they come back from the trip, and Jesus said, "All right, we're going to debrief this situation, then take a little bit of a rest." But anyway, in today's gospel, Jesus sends them out on a kind of a practice run. And I like how Mark shows how common sense Jesus was. He said he didn't want them to carry a lot of baggage and stuff that was going to slow them down. But he says, for God's sake, take a walking stick and please wear sandals on your feet. Jesus knew that people who came up lame, people who got blisters on their feet, wouldn't be much use as missionaries. So it's just kind of an interesting little checklist of how Jesus, the first drill sergeant in the army of Christ, set up his army. So he sent them out, and of course they succeeded. He didn't expose them to what they were really going to face after his resurrection, when the going really got rough and they would be killed because of their faith. But that's the story that we have today, that the apostles were given a trial run and told to go out and try this out and then come back, and we'll pick it up again next week. In the first reading, we have the prophet Amos, kind of an interesting fellow way back in the Old Testament, and he too got drafted by God. He was minding his own business, tending his sheep, and God called him to be a prophet. And like most prophets, he went to basic training, kicking and screaming and hollering about it. But God said, I will be sufficient for you and give you the strength. So I think it's important for us as we gather to draw some lessons from these scriptures that we see ourselves as part of this big operation called God's workforce in the world. That's what ministry is. That's what discipleship is. And it's time for us, I think, to do a little checking on ourselves. Now, most of us had some form of religious education way back when, grammar school, high school, PSR, all the different things that the church invents. We went through our basic training. And I think it's this weekend, don't we have a bunch of people down at Cairo on a mission experience? How appropriate. That's exactly what Jesus did with his 12 apostles. There's no danger there. They got supervisors and everything is well controlled. But that's a practice run. And all of us have got to realize that our religious education, our basic training, whether you did it last week or 60 years ago like I did, that is to prepare us for a life of active evangelization in the church today. And so the church needs visionaries. The church needs prophets today just as much as we always did. Thank God for the example of Pope Francis. It's good to go back to the recipe that Jesus had. Travel light. Told his missionaries, don't take a lot of baggage with you. It's going to slow you down. But I think he was talking not only about physical baggage, but the cultural and emotional baggage. And how many times over the centuries have well-meaning missionaries of the church made that terrible mistake, gone from Europe and to Africa and Asia and everywhere else in the world, carrying the message of the gospel, but unfortunately carrying the cultural baggage that they should have left at home. Got to say these prayers in Latin. God only understands Latin, you know. You got to wear these special clothes. You got to sing these songs. The organ is a good instrument, but your drums are bad instruments. All that bad baggage that the church carried all over the world. And we're just now starting to get the idea of what it means to be a universal Catholic Church. We got to make sure that our message is one of reconciliation and peace and repentance. And so often, let's face it, we make the mistake of stirring up controversy rather than solving it. And then lastly, missionary work always works better when you do it with somebody else. Notice that even in the trial run, Jesus sent his 12 apostles out two by two. It never works good when you go by yourself. too many dangers, too many chances to get discouraged and distracted and everything else. It's always better when you got a partner. Even the Army knows that. When they send people into battle, they have a buddy system. You take care of each other. And Jesus knew that too when he sent his disciples out two by two. So I think it's a good little meditation for us on this Sunday in ordinary time to just kind of place ourselves in the context of where we are here in the 21st century. The mission is still out there to be accomplished. And I'm very sorry to tell you, I guess maybe it's good news, the draft has not been abolished. Everybody here, if you are baptized, your number has been called, and you are expected to perform and to do it as an evangelizer of the church. Nobody is exempt in this army. Nobody. So let us remind ourselves of that obligation we have, that we have come here and we have been supported by God's gracious gifts. He feeds us in the sacraments and gives us the strength to carry out our mission in the world today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.